Hi everyone, welcome back. Thanks for joining us today. We've got a brand new story to share with you. So let's begin. My name is Richard. When my father-in-law fired me and my wife abandoned me, they had no idea what was coming next. They thought they could ruin my life and walk away without consequences. But that's not what happened. You're going to hear everything from the beginning, from the calm before the storm. And when we're done, you'll understand exactly why I didn't raise my voice. I didn't need to. Before everything went sideways, I was already working for my father-in-law long before I ever crossed paths with her daughter, Vivian. Back then, things were good. I was hired into his company as a creative strategy lead, which basically meant I ran the team responsible for dreaming up new ideas and turning them into plans that marketing and research could actually use. I was in charge of shaping what the future could look like for the company, merging imagination with data, helping different departments work together toward something innovative. People respected my work, my strategies got noticed, and my name held weight in meetings. At the time, I had no idea how temporary all of it would turn out to be. One evening, the ideation team was invited for a thank you dinner at the CEO's residence. It was meant to be simple. A few hours, good food, maybe some light conversation. But that night changed everything. That was the first time I met Vivian. She wasn't just beautiful, she had a presence, a confidence, that stood out. She didn't treat me like just another employee. She listened. She asked questions. The connection between us felt like we'd known each other longer than we had. But of course, it wasn't going to be that easy. Not in her world. Her father had different plans. He'd already handpicked someone from their social class, someone with a family name that would strengthen his own, he thought was a better fit. I wasn't that guy because I came from a different background. That wasn't enough for him. And I understood. I'm not the kind of person to force myself into a space I'm not wanted. So I told Vivian the truth. I'd walk away. If marrying me would cause a rift in her family or ruin the relationship she had with her father, then I'd rather let her go than be the reason for that kind of fallout. I was willing to step back. But she wasn't. Vivian looked me dead in the eye and said she wasn't going to live a life built on her father's choices. She said she loved me, and she wasn't giving me up for anyone. Her father may have been cold and controlling, but he wasn't stupid. He knew pushing her too hard might break whatever bond they had left. So, reluctantly, he agreed. Not because he suddenly approved of me, but because he feared losing his only daughter. We got married. The wedding was nothing short of spectacular, and the guest list read like a Fortune 500 gala. Politicians, industry leaders, and media figures showed up that day. My father-in-law played the doting host, but I could feel it. His approval didn't reach his eyes. He shook my hand like it was a formality, not a gesture of warmth. And as time passed, that chill didn't thaw. If anything, it hardened. After the honeymoon phase ended and the buzz from the event died down, I started seeing the cracks more clearly. I was no longer the groom. I was just the guy who married into their family. Tolerated, not embraced. They never said it directly. No one ever does in these kinds of families. They smiled in front of guests, but when it was just us, I was invisible. And just as things at home were cooling, things at work began to heat up, and not in a good way. My father-in-law kept me in the company, but I quickly realized I was walking into a trap. A few extra tasks here and there. Shorter deadlines that didn't quite make sense. More responsibilities that fell outside my role. At first, I chalked it up to pressure. Maybe he wanted to test my resilience. But in public meetings, he'd call out my strategy in front of everyone. Executives, interns, clients. He'd dissect my ideas like a university professor tearing apart a poorly written essay, even when the same ideas had previously earned the company solid results. It wasn't just pressure anymore. It was a deliberate attempt to break me. But I didn't complain at home. Vivian was close to her father, and I didn't want to be the one to drive a wedge between them. I figured if I just stayed the course and proved myself, things would eventually speak for themselves. So I stayed quiet. And I kept pushing. I worked longer hours. I fine-tuned every pitch, refined every campaign, and stayed two steps ahead on every project. And the results were there, Campaigns that broke projections, concepts that attracted new partnerships, innovations that saved the company time and money. But none of that mattered. When we won, the credit went to the team. When something succeeded, it was a collaborative effort. But when things went wrong, even slightly, it always seemed to come back to me. Over the years, I started seeing the pattern. It wasn't about performance. It was about perception. I was being isolated, boxed in, and slowly discredited in front of the very people I once led. It wasn't about whether I was good at my job. It was about making sure no one else believed I was. At first, Vivian was everything I ever wanted, warm, funny, and fiercely in my corner. But as the years passed, I started noticing changes in her. One night, during an argument, she looked at me and said, "Maybe you don't value me." I remember the way she said it, like she had already made up her mind and was just letting me know. I did value her, but I also realized that I had been so wrapped up in work, especially with everything her father was putting me through, that I hadn't been as present as I should have been. Instead of bonding, she pulled away. Even when I make an effort to spend time with her, she'd say she had an event or something to attend. She started dressing differently. Her world started revolving around high society events and people she had never cared for before. It was like she was trying to become someone new, someone who fit better into the life her father always wanted for her. It felt like she was being pulled, or worse, pushed. I couldn't shake the feeling that her father was behind it. He'd always seen me as not good enough. I knew how manipulative he could be. The man had a way of making poison sound like wisdom. But the worst part? I had no proof, just a gut feeling and a growing distance between us. Every time I tried to bring us closer, it felt like she was already somewhere else emotionally. One evening, my wife Vivian and I were in the kitchen. She was showing me some pictures from her phone, which she had taken from a high society event she attended, which she thought was cute. The screen dimmed, and instinctively, I reached to tap it and bring the brightness back up. I swiped by mistake. The photo that came up next was Vivian, lying on the chest of another man I identified as one of the top executives at our company. This particular man had made it his mission to frustrate every plan, question every move I made in meetings, and block every promotion I might have earned. He was the errand boy of my father-in-law. When she saw it, her reaction was immediate panic. She yanked the phone out of my hands so fast you'd think it was on fire. Before I could even say a word, she was already on her feet, storming out of the room like I had done something wrong. I followed her, of course. I asked her what I just saw. I needed answers. But what I got was deflection. She got defensive, said I was imagining things, that I must have swiped into an old photo she had saved by mistake, that I always jumped to conclusions. The worst part? She refused to show me the phone again, kept it locked. I stood there, being made to feel like I was crazy for reacting to the truth right in front of me. That night changed everything, not just in my marriage, but in my understanding of what had been happening at work. The executive in that photo was the same guy who had been leading the quiet attack on my reputation in the company. Suddenly, all the pieces clicked. The blocked approvals, the mysterious rumors, the subtle efforts to make me look like I was losing touch with the team. He wasn't just sabotaging my work. He was sleeping with my wife while doing it. I didn't tell anyone. I just disconnected because I knew what was coming, and I knew I had to prepare for it on my own. From that moment forward, I started backing up every project I was involved in, every innovation, every strategy one had helped create. I saved everything in encrypted folders and external drives that no one had access to but me. And then I stopped giving my best. I stopped putting my most valuable work on paper. If they were going to take me down, they weren't going to take my mind with them. And sure enough, not long after, the hammer dropped. A major campaign I had been leading suddenly got leaked. Confidential files, blueprints, strategic reports leaked to the press. The backlash was instant. Angry clients, embarrassed partners, and fingers pointing at me. They said it was my responsibility, that I had failed, and I must have been careless. But I wasn't. I knew exactly what I was doing. The sabotage came from inside. I was sure of it. But no one stood up for me. Not one person in that room defended me. A week later, I walked into the office thinking I was going in for a standard performance review. But the minute I stepped into that boardroom and saw who was seated, I knew something was off. HR was there. My father-in-law was there. The executive my wife had been sleeping with was sitting next to them, and a lawyer I'd never seen before. They didn't waste any time with small talk. The head of HR opened a folder and said I had failed to meet expectations. I tried to process the words, thinking maybe this was some kind of setup, but it got serious when they said, "Effective immediately, you're being terminated." I sat there, staring at them. I didn't say anything. What was the point? They handed me a severance package. I had poured years into that company. I gave them ideas, solutions, and sleepless nights. Still numb, I stepped out of that room and called Vivian, my wife, to inform her of what her father had done. She didn't pick up. Not once. I called again. Straight to voicemail. Texted her, nothing. I got home, and when I opened the front door, I noticed something was wrong. My boxes were stacked near the entrance with my clothes folded like they were being returned after a long-term rental. My shoes lined up as if I were being politely evicted from my own life. Vivian was standing in the hallway, arms folded, no emotion on her face. She didn't even give me time to ask what was going on. She just said, "It's time for a fresh start." Then she handed me a brochure for homeless shelters. I looked down at it, then back at her, try to understand if this was some kind of sick joke. It felt like I was a stranger she had finally gotten rid of. She could do this because the house we had been living in was gifted to us by her father, and it was technically company-owned, which meant now that I was out of the company. I was out of the house, too. I didn't say a word, not because I didn't have anything to say, but because I knew, in that moment, nothing I said would matter. So I picked up my things, walked out of the house I used to call home, and left everything behind. I honestly thought it was over for me. Yes, I knew things were bad, but I didn't expect all these at once. How do you bounce back when you've lost your job, your wife, and your reputation in one sweep? I was at my lowest, no lies. But something interesting started happening a few days after the news got out. Quietly, under the radar, I started getting calls. These were from hiring managers and execs at competitor firms. People who'd heard what went down. They didn't believe the official story. Some of them had worked with me before, others had seen the impact of my work from the outside. They knew what I was capable of. And now that I was suddenly available, they wanted in. But there was a problem, or so my old company thought. My termination contract came with this strict clause. It said I couldn't work for any company in the same industry. No consulting, no employment, nothing. They wanted to box me in, freeze me out completely. I remember sitting with that document and thinking, yeah, they're smart, but they're not smarter than me. Because here's what they missed. They never said I couldn't sell what I knew. They assumed that because I was gone, I wouldn't have access to anything valuable. What they didn't realize is that the real value was never in their building or their files. It was in me. I had kept the blueprints of every major concept I ever worked on. I knew exactly what made their innovations tick. And when I was leaving, I had been holding back my best stuff out of self-preservation. I wasn't about to give them everything while they were busy stabbing me in the back. Soon, panic started setting in over there. I could sense it. People from my old team started reaching out, casually at first, asking how I was doing, then slowly steering the conversation toward work. "Hey man, remember that projection model you showed us last quarter? We've been trying to recreate it." Or, "Hey, do you still have that rough sketch of the adaptive campaign system?" They weren't slick. I saw right through it. They were desperate because the new guy they brought in, he had no idea what he was doing. And without my foundational work, he was scrambling to keep the house of cards from falling. Then came the game changer. A multinational company based in the Netherlands, with operations in the U.S., reached out through a third party. They knew what had happened. They didn't care about NDAs or petty politics. What they cared about was what I could bring to the table. And I laid it out. I sold them the exact framework, strategy systems, and creative pipelines that made my ex-father-in-law's company successful in the first place. The same stuff that had driven their innovation edge for years. Only now, I enhanced it even further. The moment they deployed those systems, it was like watching a tidal wave hit the market. They didn't just compete, they crushed it. Within months, their market share doubled, then tripled. My old company couldn't keep up. They were bleeding clients. Their edge? Gone. Their secrets? Now modernized as someone else's weapons. By the time the money started rolling in, I had already detached from everything that once weighed me down. The company that bought the ideas I had held back paid me millions. I started living freely, bouncing between cities like Amsterdam, Tokyo, and Cape Town. I had no real home because the world became my home. For the first time in a long while, I wasn't waking up to pressure, deadlines, or that constant feeling of being watched, evaluated, and judged. There was no wife giving me the silent treatment. No father-in-law undermining me in meetings. No masked enemies pretending to be colleagues. Just me, peace, and a whole lot of freedom. But as I found peace, their world was collapsing. Desperation started leaking through their polished fronts. First, it was a few emails, polite, fake-friendly tones. We'd like to discuss a possible collaboration. Then came the apologies. Let's start fresh. Misunderstandings happen. After that, the tone turned desperate. Please, Richard. The company needs you. Vivian wants to talk. Can we set up a call? One message even had the nerve to say, we were wrong, but you should understand it was never personal. Funny how people remember your worth when your absence starts costing them real money. My inbox became a museum of regret. I never replied. I didn't have to. And now, standing on the other side of it all, there are a few things I've come to understand. First, loyalty without boundaries will get you burned. I gave too much without asking if it was being received with respect. Second, never let people guilt you out of your instincts. I knew something was off, and I stayed quiet to keep the peace. That silence almost destroyed me. Third, protect your value. Not everything you know needs to be shared with people who don't appreciate it. Hold something back for yourself. And finally, revenge isn't always loud. Sometimes, it's just you winning quietly while they sit in the mess they made. I'll ask you this. If you were in my shoes, what would you have done? Would you have gone back? Tried to fix it? Or would you have done what I did, walk away and build something bigger in silence? Because here's the truth. They thought they were ruining me. They were only forcing me to level up.